Welcome to another broadcast of Philosophic Perspectives on the Artist First Radio Network. All past shows are archived and you can pick them up at artistfirst.com. And now here's your host, Arthur D. Schwartz.
Why, hello everybody. Welcome back. The title of today's show is Free Energy 2, Roman numeral 2. I did a show not too long ago. This is a recurring theme, and I think I'm going to be, you know, using this sort of technique where there's this process where I repeat themes and I'll number them so to get a sense of what's happened before. For example, on September 2nd, 2015, I had a show called the impending free energy. Let me check. I think Joey. I always forget the name. I think I'll look at it this way here. The impending road to free energy, something like that. And basically, the topic for that show or the theme was, I was so impressed by Elon Musk. I mean, I think he's my hero. The guy is amazing. And with a battery that he's developed for the Tesla automobile, which is able to, you know, they're increasing the ability to store charge. And his Solar City company, where he's improving the solar panels. And basically, I guess very soon, if they're not doing it already, they're powering homes entirely on the solar energy, or coming close to it in some businesses as well. And the thing that I pointed out in that show was, I think there's an irony. I'm not going to repeat it all over again, but I mean, the point was that first of all, solar energy is free energy, basically. The only thing about it up until now, it's not free because it doesn't have the power to power homes or automobiles all by itself. But when you consider the improved efficiency of the solar panel and the much improved storage power of the batteries, you gain to a point where they're going to really put a major dent in the oil industry and gas. I mean, it's going to have a tremendous impact. And that was my major theme for that show. That show, I just looked up here right now, it's called The Impending Path to Free Energy. You can look it up. It's September 2nd, 2015. The Impending Path to Free Energy. So this is Free Energy 2. It's a theme that I come to, I address often in the shows because it's such an important issue on so many levels. And so I just want to meander a little bit before I get into the particular theme of this show, which is actually, if there's any inventors out there or technically savvy people, I've come across an open source instruction to actually build a free energy device. And so what's exciting, here, once again, like I talked about in the previous show, that I just mentioned September 2nd, Musk is doing something in the real world. I mean, you can't question, it's not open to debate, all the progress that he's making, and that's real. And my feeling is that when this actually happens and he really starts putting a dent into the oil industry, then suddenly, voila, there's going to be the unsuppression of all these machines, because it's now going to be suddenly financially meaningful for other companies to step in, because the oil is going to be eventually not nearly industry it is today because of the alternatives that are coming on the way. And I think Musk is playing a big part of that. But I found it's open source. And so when we get to that, I'm going to talk about hopefully some people who might actually build this thing. I mean, some do. I mean, they claim that people all over the world are building it. But in the sound of my voice, in our little community, might say, maybe in my Creativity Expo group, we can find somebody who would want to give it a stab. And so, but before we get there, I want to just take a step back, because why I keep coming back to the subject of alternative energy, free energy, it intersects with conspiracy theory. I mean, let's face it, a suppressed invention, that's kind of a conspiracy. What is a conspiracy? A conspiracy is an effort to reshape the image of how people see the world. So whether it's a conspiracy of doing or not doing, whether it's a conspiracy of suppressing an invention or a conspiracy of taking certain actions that are going to control things, and so our notion of reality is not what we think it to be. So they're both basically different types of conspiracy. And so you get into the politics, you get into economics, but here's the thing about it. There's no black and white. Sure, I'm interested in conspiracy theories, but I'm not a rabid conspiracy theorist. I think a lot of them are just, you know, hokey, and there's no sense to them whatsoever. I don't really believe in reptilians and anything like or shapeshifters. I'm sorry, I don't go that far. I do think it's common sense that the idea of a conspiracy or a suppression it's actually idiotic to deny it. I mean, look at the Pentagon Papers, for goodness sakes. The Vietnam War, we have all the evidence, governmental evidence, that the war was dramatically escalated, you know, in the Gulf of Tonkin incident, which is early on, not too long after JFK was killed, and I think it was Johnson's first year in office, we had Gulf of Tonkin, and suddenly what was basically small skirmishes in Vietnam that I think Kennedy was trying to get out of blew up in this huge war. Well, as is my style, I am meandering, but the thing is, I'm just trying to make the point that conspiracies or suppression of evidence is lots of reasons to believe that some of them are real. Now, it's interesting. I have been writing book reviews for Amazon.com. I didn't do it for about a year or so, and now I'm getting back into it for my own reasons. And I just recently posted two reviews on conspiracy, and I didn't realize when I read them a little while ago, and I chose those two to write reviews about, and I didn't realize the beautiful, I might say, symmetry the bookend quality of the two reviews, because one expresses my sort of moderate point of view. So one of the books I just recently reviewed was David Aronovich's Voodoo Conspiracy. The full name of his book is Voodoo Histories, The Role of the Conspiracy Theory in Shaping Modern History. And, as I write my review, which is called The Dull Edge of Occam's Razor. Occam's Razor is that sort of maxim that says, you know, always go with the, you know, simple, straightforward approach without getting too convoluted in your thinking. You always take the most simplest explanation. And as I commented, that's nice common sense if sometimes it works, but a lot of times it doesn't work for a very simple reason, because sometimes things aren't that simple. I mean, that's simple. It's very simple. It's what's very simple is things aren't always simple. And so, I really gave that book 3 stars, which for me is really bad. I'm generally generous. It could have given it a 2. I gave it a 3. The book was, David Aronovich is a well-known award-winning author. He's established and all that. He writes well. But I think the book was just basically nearly worthless. I mean, he provided information, so that had value. But the thing is, everything was done with the Occam's razor, and he lambasted every single conspiracy, and he covered quite a few of them. And so I gave that book like 3 stars, and I just think it was not a very good book. And by the way, I had read it before I finished reading writing my book, Ethical Empowerment, and I said it was a good book, and then I went on to criticize it. But in retrospect, I changed my mind. It really isn't a very good book for the reason I just said. Now, the other book that I reviewed on Amazon is called the the true story of the Bilderberg Group. That's by Daniel Estulis. And in this case, it's the counterpoint, it's the other bookend, because I also gave it 3 stars, because Estulin, you know, he's the idea of the Bilderberg Group, the Bilderbergs is real. I mean, there's no question about that. The rich and the powerful, politicians, business leaders, you know, many of our political leaders are members, and they have all kinds of things that they have thought that this is sort of an extra-governmental, extra-national effort to get the rich and the powerful to control the world and to control the population and to basically drive the world into a state of poverty where just we all become slaves, literally. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. And I'm sorry, I just don't buy that at all. However, I do believe in lots of it. I mean, I definitely believe that there are conspiracies, but there's overriding conspiracy, because for Estulin to be right, it would mean that all these powerful leaders who happen to be a member of the Bilderberg Group, they have to basically be, as I say, psychotic dictators. I mean, they have to be the lowest of the low, the evil. They all have to be, you know, Hitlerian or Stalin's or Hitler's. I mean, that's the thing. The way he describes it, that basically they're interested in turning back the clock, and basically most of the world will just be serfs. And so the only difference is that instead of going back to the Middle Ages, which had all the fiefdoms, he thinks that the Bilderbergers are going to create this one world government, and of course, which would be a terrible thing. I favor what I call a one world society, a world society, which would be very decentralized and cooperative, and not a unitary government. It might be a unitary government, but it's a relaxed, more decentralized, cooperative world where nation states really no longer have much meaning. But this idea of this onerous government, and it's a nightmare. And actually, I don't believe in a single currency. I think we should always have multiple currencies, but that's a subject for another time. And so I'm bringing this up because of showing the balance about conspiracies, because it applies also to suppressed inventions and specifically free energy. Because the same thing applies. I think that science is doing incredible things and we've made tremendous progress, yet at the same time, there's so much money involved, particularly, let's say, in terms of energy. Just look at the oil industry. I mean, you know, let's face it, this is the biggest industry, I think, the energy industry. And there's so much motive. I mean, when you go to court, you know what? You know, if a crime is committed, what do you look for? You look for motive. There's so much motive to play hanky-panky with the oil and with the whole energy system. And if there was a free energy invention or inventions or technologies that can access the energy that is embedded in the space and time of the universe, it would be goodbye oil industry. And so obviously there's a lot of reason why people wouldn't want to see that happen. And of course, it's a big subject because it's not just the one invention. It's many, 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 many things, you know, in terms of powering your automobiles, as well as, providing heat and cooling for the world. There's so many inventions that have been alleged to have been suppressed. And I really, truly believe that is the case, that that's what's happened. So I talked about those two versions of, the conspiracy theories that I showed. By the way, if you want to look at my book reviews, you can just go to my website, at arthurdschwartz.com, and under blogs, you'll see, if you click on that button, you'll see my Amazon book reviews. But the reason I showed that, I was, I was in one book, which was Aronovich's Voodoo Histories, where I was totally felt that he just gave the kibosh on all conspiracies, and it just wasn't very believable. In the same level, in the same way that Estulin's book, the True Story of the Bilderberg Group, is also unrealistic. I just don't, for a second, believe it's accurate. I think there might be a few megalomaniacs involved. I mean, that's certainly possible. I mean, probable. But in all these people, they met. I mean, the book went so far as to actually say that the Watergate scandal that got, that forced Nixon out was all contrived by the Bilderbergers. I mean, it just so that Henry Kissinger, and they put Henry Kissinger and Gerald Ford basically in charge. It makes no sense. I mean, they ended up with Jimmy Carter. I don't know. I think it's pretty idiotic. So I like to look at this as taking a middle approach. And so here is the thing. What does a middle approach do? If you're talking about suppressed inventions, can't we really get to the quick? Can't we really just get to the meat of the matter? In the case of technology, it's not really as mysterious as a worldwide conspiracy of some sort, because that's, let's face it, that's really hard to prove, right? I mean, it's a conspiracy if it is one, it's for a reason. I mean, they're keeping everything under wrap. But if there was a technology, and if there is a way to test that technology, why not do it? And it just so happens, I think, that in many cases, this happens to be the case. So in my book, Ethical Empowerment, Virtue Beyond the Paradigms, I have a concept that I call Institutes of Contra-Paradynamic Research. And I advocate government, corporations, and universities to have their own departments, own agencies, and so forth, that would eagerly try to contradict or disprove some of our paradigms, because that's the way true knowledge will really be advanced, rather than just being afraid to just prove what you believe you know, and so you don't have to be worry about being disproved. And of course, there's a lot of reasons for why that does happen in the universities. It's tenure and ego and reputation. In corporation, of course, it's just plain old money, and that's why they bury patents and things like that. And in government, while it's possibly they want to try to create some stability, but more than likely in government, it's just a revolving door. I mean, the regulators, most of the regulators are former industry people in industry, and the people in industry are former regulators. And by the way, that phenomena is a worldwide thing. It's not just in this country, not just in the United States, but we have this scandal of regulators and the regulated having, really illicit relationship where they're just getting rich by playing games with the people. And this happens in pharmaceuticals. It happens in everything that's being regulated. When you have it's the fox guarding the hen house, Aesop's fable. That's what's going on. So what I advocate is our institutes of contra paradynamic research. Now, the most famous of I think in my mind the most famous. I mean, well, the most famous is Tesla, but a man named T. Henry Moray in the 20s and 30s, mostly, created a machine and called a radiant energy machine, and it was demonstrated and most famously demonstrated it for a very well-known scientist named Harvey Fletcher. He saw it when he was a young scientist. He was working I think the Bell Labs, I think. I mean, he was a very renowned scientist, you can look him up, Harvey Fletcher. And in his last few years before his death, I mean, he gave an affidavit, which I have actually a copy of in my book, and that swore that he saw this demonstration. He had no idea how it was working, but it did work. And he powered these banks of light bulbs, and seemingly through the air, getting energy through the air. And you have a man like this stating that. You have other reputable people seeing it, similar to the UFOs. I mean, we have an awful lot of very reputable observers, and they're not all crazy. And so the thing is, why not? Let's just look at like T. Henry Murray, for example. Because, I mean, yes, he had his papers stolen, a lot of them, but still his patents are still out there. I think that somebody like an Elon Musk, an entrepreneur, I got to turn this phone off here. Sorry about that. An entrepreneur, as somebody who has, excuse me for a second, this phone is just going ape. Can you hear that? Okay. It happened once before. It just has a conniption fit. And somebody like that, an inspired entrepreneur who has an open mind, who has a commitment to the truth, could try to put themselves, I mentioned Elon Musk. I mean, he, like I said, I think this guy, from what I know, is an amazing guy. So I just picked him. And he's actually, like I said, he's actually kind of discovering free energy in his own very conventional way. He's proven it can be free energy in a sort of a semi-conventional way using existing technological forms, in other words, solar, batteries and solar panels. But somebody like that would try to get this thing, see if it actually is possible. And so we're going to take a break shortly, not quite ready yet. But when we come back, I'm going to shift the conversation to this open source instruction book that I've downloaded for free, which you can buy the book too, but it's a free download. And it's not for everybody. I don't think I could do it. I don't have that. But anyone who knows electronics and some basics, basic skills, I guess relatively simple in terms of if you know how to do these kind of things, and it can be done. It can be put together. I mean, and the thing is, and as a matter of fact, they claim it is being done around the world. I'll give you the link when I come back. There's a video. I think there's several videos on YouTube on this subject. I'll give you the details when I come back. If that's the case, why hasn't it gotten off the ground? You see, that's the thing. So I'm open to the fact that it's all a bunch of hullabaloo, It's just that I don't think so. I think people are maybe scared to come forward every time these inventors always get attacked or they get the FBI after them. There's a guy that one you may know, the name Adam Trombley, and he claimed that happened to him. Before I go to my break, I'm just going to I wrote a little piece for my group on this. And I want to quote somebody who makes a point of why I am so frustrated with the so-called scientific attitude. When it becomes so closed-minded, it becomes absolutely a hindrance to knowledge, which science is not supposed to be about. And so I'm just going to read this. I said, while surfing online, I found the following comment by a blogger who doesn't provide his name concerning this Adam Tremblay, a man who claims to have invented a free energy device. Okay, this is what the blogger writes, just a short little paragraph. Adam Tremblay is a researcher who is closely associated with free energy devices. The device he is most closely associated with is something called a closed-path homopolar generator. This is a free energy slash perpetual motion device. As has been stated on this blog before, these devices do not work because they violate the basic laws of physics. There you go. So, case closed. It violates the basic laws of physics. Okay, so I'll read what I said in response, rather than trying to just, I did put a little thought into what I said, so I'll just read it. This comment is the mark of a closed scientific mind. When he says, quote, these devices do not work because they violate the basic laws of physics, unquote. So don't bother testing the claim because it is ipso facto wrong, because it violates the laws of physics. In quotes, the laws of physics. Well, civil laws change, and so can the laws of nature, because in both cases, the laws are written by fallible human beings. However, the law, which I believe is part of the laws of the conservation of energy, does not even need to be broken with respect to free energy devices that produce more energy going out as going in. I mean, that's the idea of free energy, that more comes out and goes in. If a source of energy that is currently undetected or not currently understood, but later becomes understood and accepted, then the law in question would no longer forbid devices such as Moray's, because additional incoming energy would then be accounted for. And that is only one example of why the above blogger, like many closed-minded scientists, has a medieval mentality. Yeah, I think I said that rather well. Thank you very much. I mean, the thing is, it's so moronic to say he had the so-called law, a law of energy, a law of science, is a law that is written by men and women, scientists, about the natural world. So the law is written by them. If we impartially understand the universe, and we do not understand or account for, let's say hypothetically, another source or another dimensionality or another source of energy that is not understood or detected by us, like dark matter or something like that, then the law of the conservation of energy didn't take account of it. So therefore, if you have a device, it does tap into the conservation of energy. Well, not really. It's just that the law of the conservation of energy did not realize, or did not, our human knowledge did not at this point in time understand that there is more energy than we think there is. And you know, there certainly is. I mean, there certainly is, because even with Einsteinian, you know, relativity, and you have this the idea of wormholes, which is the derivative of relativity theory, that in order to get a wormhole or these black holes, you know, in order to bend space or to bore through space, or for matter to bend to curve space, it has to be an enormous amount of energy to create that wormhole, or enormous amount of density to curve space. And so something that requires such enormous gravitational force or enormous energy to bore a hole supposedly has nothing to it. Is it? Just think about it for a second. What are you bending? Nothing? You can't bend nothing. So you see, the theory of relativity itself implies the fact that there is hidden energy. E equals mc squared does not account for the content of space, empty space. It's mass equals energy. Space is looked at as being non-mass. So in other words, there is this whole universe of potential energy. Now, I'm just giving you my little take on it, and but the thing, and you know, there's lots of theories about this. I don't really even think you necessarily even need that. You might find future science might actually overrule the law of conservation of energy totally. But what I'm saying is that just looking at space itself, we have to say there's an enormous amount of energy that we cannot tap, because space assuredly must have embedded within it enormous energy. Otherwise, what are you boring through with enormous energy on a level of suns that will go that world, what wormholes are supposedly physicists believe can happen, or what's happening to the bending of space by black holes, where you know it's just caving in, or what's happening when the suns, we know the sun in the famous experiment, you know, light curved because according to Einstein, you know, with great mass, which creates great gravitational force, you're having the bending of space. So what is being bent? What is being bored through? So I would just say right there, you know that the law of the conservation of energy does not take account of space and the energy that must be in space. So what we're going to do, we're going to take a break now. When we come back, what I'm going to do is talk about this really interesting free download, open source download that explains that shows you how to build one of these things if you might be technically adept enough to do it. Okay, see you soon.
In Ethical Empowerment, Virtue Beyond the Paradigms, Arthur D. Schwartz presents an ethical theory that is a framework for evaluating moral conundrums that go beyond legalistic rulemaking, dogmatism, and preconditioned thinking. The book is as much an ethical framework for unconventional ideas as it is for staying with convention. Ethical Empowerment is a manifesto of non-doctrinaire perspective. Ultimately, the hypnotic thinking of ideology and dogmatism can only be overcome by returning to the true source and essence of morality, which is nothing less than universal love. Discover how the philosophically liberating approach of the ethical empowerment can be applied to the range of ethical, social, and political controversy. Read about a plan to eliminate all political parties. Entertain the possibility of an overhaul of the patent system and its replacement with a system that rewards inventors while eliminating monopolistic control of patents and technological suppression. Many other transformative ideas are discussed in the book, including issues related to the monetary system, real estate, scientific paradigms, and a rational approach to conspiracy theory. While ethical empowerment will challenge your mind to consider new perspectives, the ethical challenge is always to keep the diversity, depth, and breadth of perspective within the boundaries of love. Ethical Empowerment is available at Amazon.com and most online booksellers in both print and ebook editions.
Hi, this is John Mayer, and you're listening to Artists First Radio.
This is Arthur D. Schwartz. You know, beliefs and disbeliefs can be very powerful. Much like philosophy, hypnotism is concerned with belief. Hypnotherapy, a practical application of hypnotism, may largely be described as the practice of removing false beliefs that form mental blocks to success, to happiness, and to well-being. In my hypnotherapy and philosophical counseling practice, I combine my work in philosophy with hypnotism in order to clear mental blockages that can occur on both conscious and subconscious levels. A mental block may be conscious or subconscious and can be expressed, for example, in the form of anxiety, low self-esteem or low motivation, bad habits, tobacco habits, weight gain, low performance, and much more. If you are interested in using hypnosis and the power of the mind to overcome mental blocks and barriers that have emerged in your life, please feel free to give me a call at 617-964-4800 or visit www.integralhypnosis.com. That's INTEGRAL hypnosis.com.
You are listening to Philosophic Perspectives on the Artist First Radio Network. Now back to your host, Arthur D. Schwartz.
Well, thanks for coming back. Here's now the play. Here's a show where you can get free energy, and I'm going to tell you how maybe you'll be able to do it. So like I was just saying before the break, you know, this is about, you know, let's get, you know, let's put the pedal to the metal. Let's get real. There's no point arguing. There's no point speculating. Here's a way to prove or disprove at least one particular invention that supposedly is being created around the world, so it says. So the group is called QEG, Free Energy Academy. QEG. Now, the website is, I have the information. If you go to the show page, and on the top of the page, of the show page, you will find just below, it's in big letters, just below my website, you know, just above my picture. It's in between where it says download past shows below, and I have my website, arthurdschwartz.com, and my email. You have in big letters, in big bold letters, all caps, in-depth show descriptions. That actually is a link to the meetup page for the show. And and you know, there, you know, you have a more intent descriptive much more description of the show for the show upcoming and for the past show, because, you know, tomorrow will be a past show and you'll be able to still look at it. But if you click on that, you'll go to the meetup page, and on that meetup page is where you'll see these details that I am just telling you about. And so let me get back here. I got so many things open, so many tabs open, that's why it's confusing. Okay, so on the page, you know, you'll see the Free Energy 2, and I go into some detail, and I have the links. It's about halfway down the page of the description of this show, Free Energy 2. QEG, Free Energy Academy. And it gives you the URL, QEGFreeEnergyAcademy.com. The link is right there. And to the right of that link is an open source free energy generator plans. Okay, so you can download this free energy generator plan. But you'll see the link there. But I also on the meetup page have, for your convenience, put in the direct URL to get the download. So it's along, you know, the URL QEGFreeEnergyAcademy.com/about, and it goes free energy generator plant. Just go to that page, and you'll see it. Or if you just want to search for a thing, just search in QEG, and all this stuff is going to come up. I also found a video on YouTube, which I also have on the page. If you go to my Meetup radio page, which is meetup.com/philosophic-perspectives. And you'll get the link to the YouTube as well. If you go to YouTube and you put in QEG, you'll get a lot of this stuff as well. But what I'm going to do right now is go to what I downloaded, which is the QEG Free Energy Generator Plans. It's a free download, which I took the liberty of downloading yesterday. It says, start building your QEG today. I'll just read this little paragraph here. Why not? Fix the world, and all global QEG teams freely give these plans on how to build a free energy generator to the people of Earth. It is the people who have funded and supported this renewable energy project in a myriad of ways and have kept going. We are taking our power back. Over the past 2 years, more than 200,000 people have downloaded these plans for building a QEG. Over 1,000 forward-thinking people have invested time and money to see this technology become a reality. And well over 100 people and groups are building QEGs. Global co-development is thriving thanks to technologies like Skype and other communication channels. The first QEG open source plans were published March 25th, 2014. So it's just over a year now. And since then, people's innovations in this project is astounding. Modern, new paradigm, co-development at its best. Ooh, I like that sound. Please click on the link above and enter your, they want you to enter your name, your email address to get the free copy, which I did. Okay. So that's what you do. If anyone can do it, but particularly if you're someone who has some know-how in this, I really invite you to do it. Now, I don't think I did get the manual, and now I'm wondering if I wouldn't get into it anyway. I did download, but now I didn't open up the right link because I do have it somewhere. Unfortunately, I'm not finding it. But anyway, it's freely downloadable. And it's not for anybody, not or everybody. I mean, you do have to have some technical expertise. You don't have to be a genius. You don't have to be a computer scientist, I don't think. It's just basic electronics, I would say, most likely. And anyone like that can download this and try to put it together. And I think I would be really interested in hearing what you think about it. I mean, I'm just trying to speak some common sense. Here is an opportunity to put the thing together, this thing that supposedly no one says that can work. Here are these people saying people around the world are putting it together. And so, it's kind of like, it's sort of kind of a way to go crazy. I mean, someone who really cares about the progress of humanity, and someone comes along and says, here, let me show you this. This will change everything. And this, by the way, this one is basically based on Tesla's patent. Let me just see. For some reason, I think I called up the wrong program. But, I was reading it. This was part of one. This one really is, I think, based upon one of Tesla's patents. And I'm going to go in here for a second, see if I can, because I know I was looking at it before. Let's see here. Oh, yeah, I have it right here. Okay. So I'm looking right now at the actual plans, at this open source thing. And it's based upon, let's see, one of Tesla's patents. I could say, even see Tesla's signature. And it's a patent number 511916, Nikola Tesla's one of his many patents. It's simply called electric generator, dated January 2nd, 1894. So this is what they claim it's based upon. And I believe James Robitaille, I think he's the head of this organization. Let me give him credit. Let me just look at this here for a second. Let's see. Hold on. I just want to give the man credit. That's something I want to also comment to. I'm really a stickler for, you know, when people deserve credit or, you know, knowing the truth of history, of uncovering conspiracies, I think it's really important to get that accurate, because somehow, in some way, I believe it really affects us in a very bad way. Let me just see. I think I found his about QEG, the people involved. Let's see here. Okay. Okay. Well, I think the gentleman I mentioned is the head of this group. I believe so. And it's just that I got so many tabs open, I'm just going bonkers, just not finding it. But I believe it's James Robitaille, I think. Well, I'm mispronouncing his name. Robitaille. I believe he's the leader of the group. And this is quite pretty amazing. It's as a matter of fact, the list of parts that you need, I saw that someplace. Here it is. Yep. Let me give you a sense of this parts list. Stator, rotator, spacer blocks, bolts, nuts, washers, shafting, bonding, primer, activator, bearings. So, basics, magnetic wire. Okay, basic stuff. It doesn't look like it's going to cost a fortune at all by any means. Once again, the patent was 1895, something like that, late in the 19th century. Let me see. Let me get that again here. 1894. So this is, I guess, his is done in this in the old way, or, you know, sometimes maybe they've modernized it, you know, but still staying within the patent. I'm not sure. I'm not the one, really. I'm just trying to what I'm trying to do tonight is to let people who don't know about this to know about it. And someone, you know, I sent out an email to the Creativity Expo group. By the way, that I've talked about many times in terms of, you know, filmmakers, authors, artists, but recently I put it in inventors. I mean, I'm looking to find, you know, this would be a great thing if someone out there can build this thing using this basic material. And if it actually works, it's incredible. I saw the demonstration and the way it works is, you start the thing off with a little bit of external energy. And it begins to rotate, and then what happens is once you get it started that way, a little bit like sort of a spaceship that you kind of, you know, use a rocket that blasts you off, and then it takes off from that and gets into orbit, so you get a boost. So this gets a boost, and then the energy that comes out is well way above what's going in, and the claim is that you can basically, you know, detach the external power source, and it can keep on running indefinitely, or forever, I guess. And so that's the thing. It's something really simple. If there's anyone listening to my voice, and I'm going to talk about it, You know, this along with the subject I talked about last week, which I'm trying to promote a movement for a independent, no-party political system, which I'm going to keep coming back to again and again and again and again, because I think this is becoming part of my genetic makeup. I mean, I had the idea myself back in 1970. I'm not the first person who had it, but I'm really gratified to see. I've been online, looked around, and that people are actually talking about it. So it goes way before me, but it wasn't very common back in 1970, I can tell you that. And the particular spin I have on it, and I keep returning to it, and I'm going to return again and again and again to the subject of free energy, because I think this is something, those two issues, that's what I think I'd like to spend the rest of my life doing, to promote those two issues first and foremost. Now, there's other things I want to do, a lot of other issues I have in my book as well. But these, I think, are really paramount. And I'm going to want to come back to it again and again and again, and I'll bring more guests on. And when it comes to this free energy machine, you know what? I'm going to find someone who's going to build it. I mean, it looks relatively simple. I mean, I probably could do it myself, but it would be ridiculous for me to do it because I really don't have the experience. I mean, I could probably eventually do it, but I'd have to spend like every day, probably take me 6 months to do it. So, because I would have to basically, it's a learning curve for me. And so there's somebody out there who could do it. And you know what? Even though they claim it's being done by other people, the thing is, I'm not sure how many people have actually done it. If it's just this, if this is some kind of a fraud, it doesn't really work, well, that's worth it too. You know what? That's worth it too. If it doesn't work, if all this stuff is just hokum, and if that's what it really is, well, then fine. Then fine. Then I'll shut up about it. Of course, I'm not going to make that statement on all of them, but certainly about this one. But I saw the video. It doesn't seem like really very fine, simple, wonderful people watched the video. And I have a feeling that's something to it. If not, that's worth it too. But there's so much to gain. So much to gain and so little to lose. It's a no-brainer. As a matter of fact, I know that Scott and I are going to talk after the show about something I need to do on the website. And I'm going to even ask him. Maybe he knows somebody. I'm going to talk to everybody I know who thinks I think will listen to me. Can you do something like this? Can you try to put this together? You've got these instructions. The patent is none other than Nikola Tesla. Okay? So that's the thing. Let me repeat. It's based upon Tesla's patent, the genius, so the super genius. So I think it's worth it, ladies and gentlemen. I think it's worth it. And so that's, I think, basically, going to just in just a couple minutes wrap it up, but I want to repeat, those are the two things I'm going to come back to again and again and again, promoting an independent, no-party political system and a decent respect for free energy. Of course, the other suppressed invention has to do with the health industry. And so maybe I'll talk about that. That's something I should talk about too. But I use a lot of supplements and stuff, but I'm not exactly, I don't feel very expert, but I do feel good. So anyway, I think this is another one of my rambling, but you know what? This rambling is a focused rambling. I'm dead serious. Free energy, an independent political system, those two things, I'm going to put a lot of energy, and several times over the year, I will come back to it. Again, I'm going to bring new people into it. People know a lot more about these things than I do, and we're going to get it going. So this concludes tonight's broadcast. for links to my book, Ethical Empowerment, my philosophical counseling and hypnotherapy practice, and the Social Philosophizers Club, please visit arthurdschwartz.com. And this is Arthur D. Schwartz reminding you to live well and think deeply. I'm going to attach my blog, a link to the Artist First website, so look for that as well. So until next time, good night, everybody.